Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Let's all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And thank you, Jesus. Amen. Him being the one who came down and felt it not shameful for him to come down to this level as a man and to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have the gift of life everlasting. And we are here as members of his body and able to worship him in spirit and in truth, thanks to his darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And we are truly being blessed by having the opportunity to come and gather one with another in this place of assembly with those who are members of that body. Today's subject, our lesson title is, It Ain't About You. The problem, I believe, with Christians today is because a lot of times Brother Feaster pointed on this morning about how we allow ourselves to get in the way. Our emotions, our thoughts maybe, our things of that, all these different things we allow ourselves to get in the way. But here in the lesson text, Damascus read from Luke, but I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 16, which is the same story. The same words, but just in the Matthew's part, amen? And here in Matthew chapter 16, this is after Christ had asked them, who do men say that I am? And then some were saying, well, I think he's a prophet, or something. Well, I think he's Elias. And some was just, oh, he's just a regular old guy, right? But then he said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
And we are here, members of that church. And sometimes we wonder why people cannot realize, or they don't see this fact that he said that he was going to build his church. But the problem is, I believe, because they are in the way.
Yeah.
They are unable to see the light. The thing is, we as Christians have to get out the way and allow God and go the way that God has set for us. Because if we are in the way, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he has to deny himself. Now, if we think of that word deny, deny means to reject or to renounce or denounce, to veto or to nullify. Now, if he's telling you to veto, nullify, renounce, and denounce yourself, then there is no way that you should be in the way, right?
Amen.
Because it ain't about you. It doesn't matter how you feel. It don't matter how you think. But all that is important is that you obey God.
Amen.
When you deny yourself, that means all your thoughts and feelings and things are out of the way. And I believe that is the problem that we have, because we allow those things to get in our way. And even sometimes it'd be our physical bodies, like, oh, I don't feel good today, and so I'm not going to study today. Or I don't feel good today, so I'm not going to stand up for God when I hear somebody talking. You know, I got a headache. Well, I ain't going to deal with them folk this morning when that Jehovah's Witness come knocking at your door and you don't feel like dealing with folks. So you turn out the lights and turn out the TV, hide behind the couch, because you don't feel like dealing with them. But as Brother Feaster was pointing out in the class this morning, that we have the obligation to reprove those things which are wrong. Amen?
Amen.
So we can't allow ourselves to get in the way. And then he says, if any man come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. He says, for whosoever shall save his life, that means whosoever will say, well, my life is more important, shall lose his life. And whosoever will give up his life shall gain his life. Amen. And then he says, for what is it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? And a lot of times we think of that as just financial, like, oh, if you gain a house and you gain some money. But also it's that camaraderie that you try to get from friends, and that acceptance that you try to get from those that you come in contact on a daily basis. So I'm not going to say this, or I'm not going to say that, because I don't want to be in an uncomfortable situation. But when you don't stand up for Christ, you are denying Christ. He said, If you deny me before men, him shall I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So if you deny in Christ, that means you're not denying yourself. So we have to change that around and deny ourselves and give ourselves to Christ. And denying, that word denial, it has some very strong, if you like I mentioned in the thesaurus when I looked at it, and I was going to bring it with me, but like I said, to reject yourself and like when you say, well, I think that we should be able to let all these other denominations come and we should fellowship with all of them, right? But you have to deny the way that you feel and go according to what the Word of God has to say. Yeah. If we look at James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, we're going to deal with these three words. And this is these three words that I'm going to deal with are these words that we need to apply to ourselves so that we can ensure that we are actually doing what God would have us to do. Now, first, Jesus told us to deny ourselves, right? And then if we go to James chapter 4, and I believe, like I said, this is Brother Feaster touched on a lot of this morning. I was glad. So that means I can just rehash and just to bring you back into remembrance of what he was saying for those who was paying attention. And for those who weren't, I'm going to give you something brand new. Amen. Amen. So James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Amen. But giveth grace unto the humble. Right. And that's another word that we're going to look at today. Humble. I always put the... yeah, I always do that. All right. Humble. Right? Deny. And then he tells us that... He resists the proud. Now, pride, in the Bible tells us in Proverbs 6 that pride is one of the things, one of the six things that God, our Creator, hates. Right. And that's a strong word, right? Hate. If I say I hate something, that means I don't like it. I can't stand it. I detest it. I don't want it around me, all right, if I hate it. And God says, I hate a proud look. So pride are one of the things that is infecting man because we have the pride. The Bible talks about the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. The pride of a man will say, well, I'm going to do it my way. Or I don't think I can do it his way because it's not the way that I want to do it. And you put yourselves in front of him, but you are not allowing yourself to be humble. And you're not bowing down because the original title of this lesson was Bow Down If You're Heaven Bound. But that was too circuit to me. But anyway, you have to bow down before God if you want to be where he is. Because if you try to do it your way, if you don't deny yourself, and if you're not humble in the sight of God, the Bible says, if we go to James in the same chapter, in verse number 10, it says, to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and who's going to lift you up? He will lift you up. See, we want to... Like a lot of times in our lives, even as parents, we try to encourage our kids to be have self-confidence, to have some self-esteem, to believe in yourselves and to think more, be confident in yourself and all these things, to be proud of who you are and where you're from. And that's what we try to install in our kids so that in this secular world, you're going to need some of those things. You're going to need some confidence and you're going to need those things to get you a job and to in sports and things like that, that you go and endeavor in the worldly thing. You're going to need some self-confidence. You're going to need some self-indulgence in a way, right? Some self-esteem so that you can make it in this secular world. But in the secular world, it's different from the spiritual world, amen? Because if we try to put ourselves on a pedestal, then the Bible says, he says we have to humble ourselves and bring ourselves down, and then he is going to lift us up, right? So if we are high and mighty and thinking I'm better than them or I'm better than him or I'm greater than those or whatever, God is going to put you down because you exalted your own self. But he says that he will exalt you if you humble yourself. And then in verse number 7 in James chapter 4, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now that is the other word, submit. All right, we're going to deny ourselves. We have to humble ourselves, and we have to submit ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Now, Jesus said, if any man comes after me, he must deny himself. And then here James is telling us that you have to be humble, and you have to submit yourself before God. Yeah. And because God does not like pride. And he said, love not the world, neither the things of the world, because the world consists of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Yeah. So these things we have to get up out of ourselves, and we have to deny our flesh. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, he says to mortify. In some translations, it says put to death your body. You have to kill it. Because if your body is ruling in your life, if your flesh, we all are wrapped in this nasty, disgusting, dirty flesh, comes from dirt. So if you think you better, you just, it's dirt, clay, amen? So we allow this flesh to get in the way. But he says to mortify it, to kill it, to get rid of it, because that is going to keep you from making it to heaven. The Bible says that is that born of flesh is flesh, and that is born of the spirit is spirit. So we have to put the flesh aside sometimes, because the flesh always and eventually will get in the way. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul said that I am crucified with Christ. That means he said, I am dead. You don't see Paul no more when you see me. He said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, because when to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said that my life here is only to serve Christ, to be Christ, to do the will of Christ. Amen. When we talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when the Solomon, he was writing, and he said that vanity is vanity.
Yeah.
All is vanity.
Right.
In your daily endeavors, when you your jobs, your cars, your house, and all these things, when it comes to your salvation, it doesn't matter. Am I right about it? Is that all right? He said it is vain, right? Vanity is another word for vain, right? So something that is vain is empty, void, and useless, right? So when we get to heaven or when the judgment day comes, he's not going to check your job status, right? If you're hired, fired, unemployed, right? He's not going to check that. He's not going to check on how many cars you drive or how big the house you have or how nice shoes you have or any of that thing, because none of those things matter when it comes to our salvation. Now, like I said, you're going to need confidence and things like that to get those things here on this earth. But when it comes to your salvation, it doesn't matter. So in actuality, it is vain, because our ultimate goal is to make it to heaven. Am I right about it? So if we can't take it with us to heaven, how can we allow it to be our main goal in life? If our main goal is to make it in heaven, and we know that we can't take this stuff with us in heaven, amen? So those things we need to lay aside a little bit. We can't, because that's why he said that those things are called, he said in Colossians chapter 3 and 5, he says that is covetousness, which is idolatry, right? So if you like these things, you want everything you see, every commercial, I got to get that. Everybody you see drive by, I want that. And you know, when you're little, you see a car drive by, you got bingo. You know, that was your car that you wanted every time. And people, grown folks, doing it today still. They see a brand new car, they say, bingo, I got to get that. And they take their credit card, know they ain't got no money, and swipe that card, and they had them a brand new whatever it is, right? But the thing is that these things have no benefit in our soul salvation.
Amen.
And that's why he tells us to, you know, put those things aside, because it can keep us from making heaven our home.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Now, submitting and subjection is the part of the same. It is the act of submitting. When you bring something under subjection, you are in the act of submitting something. So when you bring your body under subjection, that means you are not allowing your fleshly desires to control you. Amen?
Amen.
And you are guided by the Spirit. That's why he said, we're going to go there in a second. Let me not get ahead of myself. I said, we need those things, like I said, confidence and things of that nature. But it will not benefit us as far as our soul salvation. And when it comes to pleasing God, like I said, those things don't please God. And Brother Feaster pointed out that in Hebrews 11 and 6, that in order to please him, you must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah. Now, he says to diligently seek him. That means you putting all of your all into seeking him. Am I right about it? Yeah. That means that you are letting some stuff go because you trying to seek God. That means I can't be seeking everybody else, and I can't seek everything else. If I'm seeking God, that means I'm not diligent. That means I'm spreading my stuff around. So some of you get some of this, and I give you 10% of my time over here. But he says to those that diligently seek him, those are the ones that please him. And that is our whole goal in life, is to please God. Am I right about it? And he says the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Right. And that is your purpose in life. Now, we have to work and make money to feed our family and to provide shelter and clothes and things. But our main goal in life is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Amen. And then so when you submit, you have to submit to God. And the word submit means to surrender or to relinquish authority to or to obey or offer or to yield yourself to God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And verse number 19, I believe it is. No, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 9. Hebrews 12, 1 through 9. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. You see what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. We got to lay aside those things that are so easily beset us. Am I right about it? And it says, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction and of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Uh-huh. All right. And then in verse number 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? So we know that as children, we had that fear of our parents, and we are under subjection of our parents. As we're under, he says, as long as you're under my roof, right? You're going to do what I say, right? So we are under our parents' rule because they will chastise us in those ways, right? If you didn't do wrong. Now, in this, he was speaking about earlier about how they didn't want to be chastised. But he said, that's good to be chastised by God, because if a parent that loves you will chastise you, right? If you don't love your kids, you're gonna let them do whatever they want. But because God loves us and we seek after him diligently, sometimes when we get out of place, we're gonna get a little spanking. Am I right about it? And we're gonna have to suffer the consequence. That's why he says you reap what you sow, right? So if you're putting out some bad, you're gonna get back some bad. If you're putting out some good, you're gonna get some good. Amen. He said, those that reap to the spirit will, those who sow to the spirit will reap to the spirit. And those who sow to the flesh will also reap to the flesh. So we must realize that we are under the subjection of God. And we must deny ourselves, humble ourselves, and submit ourselves to God. Amen. And then Jesus talks about in 1 Peter, or first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go there, 5, verses 5 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to understand that our subjection is not only to God, but he says one to another. Amen. Amen. And then he says that and be clothed with what? Humility. And that's that you have to be humble. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And we just read that over there in the thing, in the same thing, right? And he's repeating this to inform you that Peter is reinuating this thing to let you know that God don't like a proud person, but he gives grace. And that is what? God's unmerited favor to the humble. So if you want, that's what we want, right? We want that grace and that mercy from God, because without that, that's eternal damnation. Am I right about it? So if we want that grace and that mercy, because we are not, he said, none is righteous. So we ain't good enough to make it to heaven already, but because of God's grace and mercy through our obedience, he gives us that opportunity to make heaven our home. So we have to realize that if heaven is our goal, we have to deny ourselves, submit ourselves, and humble ourselves in the sight of God. And he will lift you up. And then in verse number 6, in 1 Peter 5, in verse number 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. And when Brother Feast was talking about that time again, we like, well, I've been working hard. I've been putting in work in the church, and I'm not getting nowhere or something. Or I've been doing this stuff, and you have to wait on the Lord. You have to wait on the Lord. Amen. He said, if you wait on him, then that means you are under his next subjection. And then you're going to deny your thinking that, well, it's time for me to get my blessing already. You're going to put yourself out of the way, and you go wait on the Lord and let the blessings come unto you. And if you are humble, he's going to exalt you in due time. Amen. And then in Job, the Bible says that God resists, or in Proverbs, he said that God resists the proud. And then it says that pride comes before destruction. Now, none of us want that. Amen. So we have to get that pride and get ourselves out of the way before we end up in destruction. And then so we see that humility, we have to humble ourselves. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of God. So we have to think about that. And I was thinking, like, what does he mean by as a little child? He told Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came to me, said, unless a man is what? Born again. So when you're born, what are you? A child, right? And he said, unless you are born again of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. So when I see this, that you have to humble yourself as a child, that means you have to be, once you are born again, that birth, that child is dependent on that parent. Am I right about it? He can't go and do his own. He can't go get his own food. He can't take himself to school, right? He can't buy his own clothes. He is dependent on that parent. And we as Christians have to depend on God the same way. And that's how we submit ourselves to him. We submit ourselves to his word, submit ourselves to his blessings also, and while waiting on it and giving thanks when we receive them. See, and sometimes we be waiting on it, and we had already been blessed, and we didn't even know it. You know, we still wait. Well, I ain't, but Didn't you ask God to bless you with a new day? Bless me so I can see another day. We're like, I ain't blessed by God. You standing in my face showing me a blessing that you received from God right there. And you sitting there talking, you know, bad on the blessing. And you already in the midst of one. Amen. So we have to realize that those blessings that we receive from God, it might not even be what you want, but it's what you need. Right. He said he will supply all your needs, not your wants. See? Because your wants will get in the way. Your wants will get in the way. You know, I don't want to come evening service. You know, some people would rather be asleep right now. Damascus, right? Some people would rather be at home sleeping, right? But we have to submit ourselves and deny ourselves and give up our own thoughts and feelings so that we can allow God to work in our lives. And that's why he says that you have to be born again. That's that new birth, just like a child. And then in Romans 12 and 2, he says, be not conformed, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So that means when you was growing up as a child, we was then be confident in yourself. Be firm in yourself. It's all about you, self-esteem and things like that. But there is a renewing of the mind that has to take place where it's not about you no more. It's not about how far you go in society. It's not how big you are, how fast, or how pretty you look. Amen. It's about doing the will of God. And that's where we have to be. We have to renew our mind and put ourselves out of the way, because we get in the way of our eternal salvation. Now, with these words, when you deny yourself, your denying yourself affects the way you think, and that is what's already in your memory, right? Something that's already, so you're already trained to say self-preservation, right? Self-preservation. So when you deny yourself, you change the way your mind works, the way you consider yourself, the way you remember yourself as being Mr. Big Man, and you become little old Christian who needs some help from God, amen? Yeah. So you have to change the way you think, and then that will affect, I always talk about your content, the context, and the conscience. The content is what something contains. So your memory is going to be changed. If you deny yourself, it's not going to be you in your memory no more. You're going to be thinking about, it's going to be God that you're going to be thinking about. So your content is going to change. And that's also when you read, when you're watching TV. If you are under the subjection of God, you're not going to allow certain content to enter into your mind. Because I like to watch the bad girls of whatever, you know, or the housewives of this, or these things that can affect your thinking, you won't, because it's not for your benefit. You say, well, it makes me feel good to watch it, but I know it's not good for me, amen? So you have to change your content and the memory by denying yourself. And then when you submit yourself, you change your habits. When you submit yourself, your habits change.
Amen.
You're not going to do the same things that you used to do because you're not under your own subjection. So then that's what repentance is all about, amen? That you leave the way you want to do it and you go the way God wants you to do it, amen? So then your habits are going to change because you are subject or in submission to God. And that's going to affect your conscience because your habit is from what you already got in there, right? And you go, so your conscience is going to change, right? So all these, see how these things work together. You deny yourself, your memory, and your content is going to change. When you submit yourself, your habit and your conscience will be affected by your submitting to God. And then finally, if you humble yourselves, you're going to change your reaction, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a humble person, right? If you're a humble person, you're going to react differently, right? Now, back in the day, somebody stepped on your shoe, you'd be like, wait a minute, you stepped on my shoe, we're going to have to do something about that. Or you bumped me, or you cut me off, and we'd be honking a horn and throwing up fingers that we got, right? And those things, but when you are a humble person, you go on, brother, go on in front of me, that's all right. Somebody cut you in line, oh, that's all right, I'll take my time. You will be a humble person. Your reaction is going to change because you are humble person. See what I'm saying? These things all work together because once you deny yourself and humble yourself and submit yourself, your whole life should start to change and everything should start to go. And sometimes we might be not that far. We probably haven't denied ourselves completely. So some of our thoughts and thinking is different and we haven't humbled ourselves all the way. And so we react the wrong way when we see something going and we want to react and we haven't submit ourselves. So we still do the same things we used to do. And then those habits and your reaction affects your the context. Oh man, I got that. Well, this right anyway. Context is what something contain is the word, right? The words. So then when we submit ourselves, we have to submit ourselves to the word of God, right? And then that's the context, the words that are contained, and then those words of God affect your habits, the way you act. And then when you humble yourself, then your reaction is going to affect your conscience because you are thinking differently. Your conscience is all about your mind. So then your reaction, if you react in the wrong way to something, your conscience should affect you, right? If something happens and you're doing something wrong, your conscience say, nah, brother, you shouldn't do that. Nah, Eric, you need to calm down. right? It's going to tell you something. But if your conscience could be seared, right? And there's a seared conscience. And the Bible talks about those who have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And they go by making their own righteousness. Amen. But we have to submit to God's righteousness. And then our thinking, our habits, and our whole lifestyle will change once we submit ourselves, humble ourselves, and get ourselves out of the way. Because you can be keeping yourself from making it to heaven. And that's something where, it's nobody, that's the song we sing, if I don't get to heaven, it would be nobody's fault but who? My fault, if I don't make it to heaven. You can't say, well, they didn't accept me the way I wanted them to accept me, or they didn't let me do what I wanted to do in the church, or things like that. It's not going to be nobody's fault, because it's up to you to get yourself out of the way. If the way those people react to you should not affect your working and doing the will of God. And it'd be nobody's fault if you don't make it to heaven, but your own fault, because you allowed yourself to get in the way. Now, like I said, some people, they don't believe that the Bible, the Church of Christ stands on the fact that there is only one, according to the scripture. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 4 tells us that there is one body. And then Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that the body is the church. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians tells us that the body is the church, and the church is the body. Amen. So then the Bible tells us there is only one. So if there's only one, and people who say, well, I think that there are more, or I think it don't matter, or I think there's good people everywhere. Yes, they are. But they haven't denied their selves. They haven't humbled themselves to the word of God, and they have not submitted themselves to God, because they go by their own feelings, or my mama told me, or pastor or reverend or whoever they listen to has told them this thing, and they have put somebody else in front, and then God is out of the way. And then if you take God out of the way, then where are you? Where are you if God is not there? Who are you with? See, this is not where you're from. Not where you at, but when it comes down to it, is who you with. Because if you from a bad situation, but you change your life and you living good now, I'm doing what's right. But if you're not with Christ, it is all in vain again, right? It is worthless. Because if you're not with Christ, because Christ is the one who has the power to save, amen? So if you are in your way, I suggest that you get yourself out of the way. But first of all, you have to study. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved, right? And if you approve yourself, that means that you are proving to be right, amen? That means you can find the things that I'm doing in these scriptures to say I'm right. So that's why we have to study. And then we'll be able to defend the scriptures, like Brother Feast was talking about, being able to stand against those who are teaching things that are wrong and contrary to the word of God. And then that's when we are under subjection of God, where we don't say, well, that's on them, I don't feel like dealing with them. But when you hear something wrong, it is your duty as a Christian to defend. We are defenders of the gospel, amen? And that we have to stand firm in the council and to let folk know that what thus saith the Lord, and that if those things that are wrong, and we have to let it be known that it's wrong. And if those things are right, we have to give praise, glory, and honor to God. But then, like I said, those who don't believe that, they have to humble themselves. Or they say that they humble, but they still listening to their own selves. So those who are not in the church, we as Christians, we have to try to apply these characteristics to ourselves by being humble and submissive, and to deny ourselves so that we can grow stronger. And for those who are not members of the body, you have to deny yourself. And you have to humble yourself, and you have to submit yourself to the word of God by hearing the word. Amen. And then when you believe what you have heard, you repent of your sin. That is the changing. That is the subjection and submitting to the will of God. And you denying yourself, and you humble yourself to say, I guess I'm not righteous yet. I'm not right as far as good as I thought I was when I have seen the truth that showed me that I wasn't. You have to be a strong person to say, look, I am wrong. It takes a stronger person to say I'm wrong than to point his finger and tell somebody else they're wrong. Am I right about it? So you have to be able to have that power through the word of God to be able to change your life. And that's repentance. Then confessing Christ to be, that is that denying yourself, and you are putting Christ first in your life. Amen. You confess him to be Christ. That's why he said, if you confess me before men, him shall I confess before my Father. And if you deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father. And denying Christ, is that means you are accepting someone else. You're putting someone else in that position. And then we must be subject to the submersion of baptism. Amen. Yeah. So many people in the world, I just don't understand why they don't want to submit themselves to the word when he says that you must be born of what? Water and the Spirit. They leave out the water. Everybody wants to have that Holy Ghost baptism, right? But Jesus said that, John said that I baptize with water. And there's one that's going to come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, right? And they want that, both of them. They want the fire and the Holy Spirit. But they don't know what they're talking about, because that fire is what you don't want, amen? Because that fire baptism is that eternal damnation that will be separated from God, amen? But he brought that, but he gave that was Jesus, what he was going to do. He was going to baptize with the Spirit and the fire. But man, he has given us the authority to baptize in water. And we must allow ourselves to be submerged after we submit to the word of God. Because once we go under, that he said it's not just the washing the filth of the flesh. That's what water, basically you wash your hands in water. He said it's not just putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answering of a good conscience. Amen. Amen. And then he said it's a faith in the operation that you have to believe that when you go down in that water, that this is happening. Now, if you just say, well, I don't see what's in the water, and you go down in that water, you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to be washed, because you didn't believe that it was there to be for you to be washed. Amen? So you have to believe that and accept the fact that the water baptism is necessary by humbling yourself, denying yourself, and submitting yourself, and then you will be added to the body. And then you will be a child of God. And then he said that, and he said, where I go, you can go also. And he said, I prepare that place for you. But amen. You have to first deny yourself if you want to go. Amen? So I pray that we could use these things and that we apply them to ourselves. Because I'm still, like I said, we are still working on denying ourselves and submitting ourselves and humbling ourselves, because we wasn't taught that from the beginning, right? And that's what the renewing is, the rebirth is, and the rethinking and the reshaping of our life so that we can be under God's subjection. So I pray that we all can receive from this word. And if there are any that are not a member, please, this is the opportunity as we stand and sing the song of invitation.